Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's a Sunday morning, a beautiful Sunday morning. Hot and humid, but beautiful here in North Florida. And on this weekend, we celebrate the birthday of a nation, the birthday of our nation, the United States of America. It's a great nation. And the importance of the living God in her success played such a dramatic part in her success. So I thought it was a perfect subject to use. Not just because tomorrow is the 4th of July, but because we need to always remember that we are one nation under God. And so we celebrate one nation under God on her birthday. Now, we're facing some trying times these days, but America has always met and surpassed the many challenges she has faced. Today, more than ever, it's important for us to remember the importance that God has played in meeting all of our challenges. None was more critical than the challenge of the Civil War. And isn't it ironic that only 86 years following the nation's founding, on this very day, the Union began the process of holding it together on the battlefield with the victory at Gettysburg, the day before the 4th of July. Oh, the war went on for nearly 3 years, for the Confederacy was very brave and determined, but in the end, America survived and she became stronger than ever. And with God at her side, she could overcome today's hardships as well. Let's take a moment and look at our pictures for the day. First is the cross, the Bible, and the flag, which is representative of the tight-knit bond between God and country in the United States. We were founded as one nation under God. Sometimes we forget it these days. What worries me about that is when we do forget about it and we look the other way, I think God just says, well, I gave you free will and the choice to make between good and evil. If you're going to make the wrong choice, even though you have the option, maybe I'm going to look the other way as well and teach you a lesson. We don't know the details, but certainly thoughts about that. Then there's the Liberty Bell, which, of course, represents freedom. The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia still exists. It's cracked and it's worn, but it's there. And then the picture of George Washington on his knee with his horse praying in the snow at Valley Forge. This was just before Washington was able to successfully defeat the British at Trenton. And it was really the first victory, the Continental Army, and he needed it desperately. The Continental Congress was starting to get real panicky. There was some talk about trying to sue for peace, but they decided otherwise. I think they did because they knew that the British would probably take them all out and hang them as traitors, even if they sued for peace, because the British had become very, very cruel at this point, burning churches with people in them. All kinds of terrible things were happening, but war does that. So Washington labored on, and he got the big victory that he needed to keep things alive. And then, of course, Lafayette and the French helped us, bottling up Cornwallis at Yorktown with their fleet so that he couldn't get out. And it was a lot later, it was in 1781 in October, but the war was declared over and America became free. Then there is a picture of the Continental Congress. Just think about this when they were meeting to discuss the Declaration of Independence. Every one of those men knew they were putting their lives on the line and all of their property, and many of them ended up penniless, yet they followed through because freedom is very, very strong. When it gets in someone's ideas, it's very, very strong, and people will fight for it to the death. Next is a picture of God looking down. God the Father, the Creator. We were created in His image, and so He wants us to live for Him and like Him. It sounds easy, but it's very, very tough in a world where Satan still runs free, and he will until Jesus returns. So I think it's important to remember that, and that's what has so much to do with the evil in the world, because it is always being spread by Satan. He looks for weak links. It can be a lot of different things. It can be lusts for lots of things, power, money, sex, whatever it is, it's very powerful, and it takes the Holy Spirit to fight it off. Next picture shows the eagle and the cross, representative once again of the Christian faith being the predominant faith in early America, but it's not the only faith, certainly, and people are free to practice religion as they want, but there is no question that God is the foundation. And of course, the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove. I mentioned the importance of the Holy Spirit. He's your guidance counselor in your soul, to help you make the right decisions with your gift of free will. And finally, a picture of Johnny Cash, who is the reason why I named my program Sunday Morning Coming Down on the weekends. You notice I didn't open it with his song today because I thought it was important to do something patriotic for America. And frankly, we don't hear the Star Spangled Banner very often. It was written by Francis Scott Key while he was held captive in Baltimore Harbor at Fort McHenry during the War of 1812. And he looked out the window after the all-night battle and he saw that the flag, although tattered, was still standing. And it inspired him to write the song. He didn't write the words, for the song, the lyrics. He did not write the song itself, the music, because that was actually, believe it or not, a kind of a tawdry British Navy ale drinking song. That's what it was. And, of course, just like our beautiful patriotic song, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, America, which also was from the British. It came from God Save the King, same music. But, you know, music is like that. It gets modernized. It gets revised. And so the Star-Spangled Banner came from a very non-illustrious background into a very beautiful song. Some people say it's too difficult. I personally think it's beautiful. So those are our pictures today. And by the way, I will close the show today with Johnny Cash's wonderful song, which was written by Kris Kristofferson, Sunday Morning Coming Down. I have some scripture that I want to go over with you this morning, and it's a little bit complicated because there's some questions about, you know, submission to authority versus when you stand up and are willing to fight. And, of course, the colonists went through this. At the beginning of the war, 80% of the colonists wanted to stay as part of England. They were loyal to the crown. But as the violence got worse and the torture and all the horrible things going on got worse, more and more people switched to the freedom cause. But the reason for this is because I'm going to read Romans chapter 13, some verses starting with number 1, and it tells you why the question in the first place. And here we go. This is from the English Standard Version. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger, who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this very thing, pay to all what is owed, them in taxes. Revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. So that sounds like you got to follow the leaders, right? And yeah, basically that's what it's saying. But if you think about it, and we'll get back to it in a minute, you'll see where there are some exceptions. And the next one comes from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. And I think you'll recognize this one as well. It's about the whole armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So on the one hand, and these are both from the New Testament and both written by the Apostle Paul. On the one hand, he's saying be subject to the governing authorities. On the other hand, he says put on the whole armor of God and stand against evil. So how does that work out? Well, we're going to talk about that a minute when we get back, and then we're also going to talk a little bit about the beginning of the country. Won't be long, but first I would like to play a little bit more music. And this is, of course, the most appropriate of all hymns to play on this day because it was written during the Civil War. And it's a beautiful rendition because it combines taps with the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And it's performed by the Piano Brothers. So here, folks, is a rendition of Taps and the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Nothing more appropriate to honor America on the 4th of July that's coming up.